Welcome to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name's Stephen Roach. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for dairy cattle health and welfare. I did my master's and PhD trying to understand how farmers, their staff, and their advisors can work together as a team to improve. I'm also part of a team working with the Dairy Farmers of Canada to help showcase Canadian dairy farming stories, industry updates, and the latest science, advice, and perspectives on high-priority topics that relate to ProAction. You'll find this channel features a number of different series, from environmental sustainability to animal care to biosecurity and beyond. This podcast series features conversations with farmers, veterinarians, and other farm advisors, researchers, and many other industry stakeholders. Our goal is ultimately to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. Dairy farming comes with the responsibility to care for the environment. The Environmental Farm Plan is a program administered at the provincial level across Canada, and it's aimed at helping farms gain awareness of environmental stewardship practices and potential environmental risks on their farms. This episode features conversations that I had with two important stakeholders. First, Karen Clark, a policy analyst within the Resilient Agriculture Policy Division at the Strategic Policy Branch of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, as well as Julia Buckingham, who at the time of recording this podcast was a sustainability manager with the Dairy Farmers of Canada, but who has since moved on from DFC. So let's jump in. Well, Karen, it's a great pleasure to have the chance to sit down with you, chat a little bit about your experience, your perspective, and your role as it relates to some of the environmental components that are factoring in these days to what every Canadian dairy farmer has to be thinking about now as part of the ProAction initiative. But ProAction or no ProAction, excited to have the chance to chat with you about how you factor into the conversation around environmental stewardship, environmental management, and some of the big things that are happening in the Canadian dairy industry. So thanks for taking the time to chat with me today.
I'm very happy to be here, Steve.
So I've done a little bit of an intro already, but I always like to get give everyone a chance to kind of explain where, you know, who they are, where they come from, and how you kind of got to the place you're at here, and a little bit of that passion you have for the topic and the scope of your work today. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
For sure. I grew up on a dairy farm in Quebec. So agriculture and dairy farming in particular are near and dear to my heart and always gave me an appreciation for all things environmental as well. And currently I work as a policy analyst with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada within the Resilient Agriculture Policy Division. Our team collectively works on policy to support the environmental sustainability and resilience of the agriculture sector. And within my role, I have the pleasure of getting to interact with industry-led initiatives that are demonstrating sustainability in their production systems. Through that, I get to sit as a member of the Environment Technical Committee for ProAction. So that's kind of what brings me here today.
Very cool. And I always love the personal connection with the industry and with this topic in particular. And sounds like you've got a very cool role and probably have oversight beyond dairy, which might be interesting just to understand some of the perspectives and challenges in both, you know, successes and management practices implemented in other sectors as well. So what we wanted to chat a little bit about with you today was one of the pillars that Canadian provinces have used to get everyone, not just dairy farmers, but get agriculture sort of on the track of thinking about conservation, protection, and sort of overall stewardship of the environment is the Environmental Farm Plan. Can you help us break this down? I know our listeners are going to be familiar with this, but just, you know, help situate sort of from a foundational perspective, what is the Environmental Farm Plan in and of itself?
So I'm going to refer to it as the EFP for short. It's a voluntary and confidential on-farm environmental risk assessment that provides information and tools to help farmer identify issues on their farm, as well as to develop an action plan for addressing those issues. And it also points to some solutions or beneficial management practices that will help with that. It was first developed in the 1990s, and it was developed by farmers for farmers, which actually sounds a lot like how ProAction came about. And that original EFP initiative was intended to raise awareness of the linkages between environmental issues and production, and also be a meaningful tool to help address any risks that were found. So since that time, it's spread across the country, and starting in 2003 with the first agricultural policy framework, it's been available in all provinces. And now I think there's more than 40% of farms in Canada that have completed at least one once or more. And that number is probably increasing and likely higher now with the requirement for all dairy farms to have one. So the value of an EFP comes from the awareness it brings of environmental strengths and issues. It helps farmers map out environmental risks, both to their production and from their production. And it's unique in that it's specific to the operation. So the topography, the soil type, and that may vary throughout their farm. Location of water courses, wells, barns, manure storage, and it's particular to types of production. So my EFP is going to raise different issues than your EFP, even if we're farming quite close to each other. So it's very specific. Once a farmer has identified these risks, they also then prepare an action plan to address them. The initiative itself continues to evolve over time. So it's always getting updated with new science, new practices, bringing in new tools. One example of a new tool that's available in one province is a new optional biodiversity and habitat tool it's available within the EFP, and it's there to support management of species at risk. And there's a few other provinces who are looking at adapting that and adding it as well. So when a farmer updates their EFP every few years, there's an opportunity for bringing in some of those new tools or new updated insights. One really important benefit of an EFP is that it's a key eligibility requirement for cost-shared funding for environmental beneficial management practices, or BMPs. This is funding that is offered by the federal, provincial, and territorial governments under the Sustainable Canadian Agriculture Partnership. These BMPs and any practices that an EFP will point to are important for other reasons too. Good environmental management is part of an efficient and productive business. So for example, more efficient nutrient use reduces your input costs. Better soil health increases your productivity. And of course, all of these support broader environmental outcomes as well, like reducing greenhouse gas emissions or protecting local water quality by preventing runoff to water courses. So having that current EFP is going to give you access to cost-shared funding to adopt BMPs. And that's going to support that efficient and environmental management on your farm.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty robust tool, and obviously provides an opportunity to develop tailored strategies, or even understand what tailored strategies ought to be implemented in the first place on a farm. And so helps to identify and then provide a bit of an opportunity for a pathway on how to address it. Can you tell us a little bit, Karen, about what's involved in actually getting one done? I know there are some differences by province, so we don't need to go into all the weeds on that, but you know, what generally does it look like to complete an EFP or to develop an EFP?
So yeah, it differs by province in terms of how it's rolled out. So in some provinces, you could go online and complete it individually. In other provinces, you're going to work one-on-one with an agronomist or a technician. And then in others, it's delivered via workshop. So you would go in one day and sit down and go through that process of kind of mapping out where your buildings are in relation to your water courses, and looking at your topography and your soil type, and trying to identify what all of that means together and where some of those environmental risks could be occurring, and whether you need to take action to address them or not.
I acknowledge that you have too, the fact that there are differences by province, both in maybe how you go about completing an EFP, but you mentioned too some of those, you know, some provinces have kind of integrated new science or different tools to support producers in those areas. Is the difference by province really just because, well, hey, we have a pretty darn different geography as you look coast to coast, and the provinces are best situated to try and manage that, and so they just generally have a different perspective on what ought to be included. I'm sure there's a common framework, but some nuance there. Is that fair to say, or is there other rationale maybe I'm not privy to?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So EFPs are supported, as I said, by the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership, and that's a federal, provincial, and territorial agreement, right? But even though it's delivered across the country, the programs are delivered by each jurisdiction to reflect all sorts of different diversity. So there's differences at the geographical level, soil types, crops grown, climate, but probably more particularly at a policy level as well. So in that province, what's covered off by other initiatives, other programs, what's in the legislation and the regulations that are particular to that jurisdiction? And then what are the predominant types of production in that province? So they're all kind of tailored to reflect those differences. But at the same time, there was a project a few years ago, I think it was 2016, where the EFP delivery agents undertook a study to compare the content of the EFPs to see how they all measured up against one another. So in that project, they looked at those differences, but even with those differences, they found that there was a very high degree of similarity in what each EFP was covering. So all of them still address soil health and things like storage and application of chemical inputs, manure storage, biodiversity and wildlife corridors, and so on. So overall, a farmer completing an EFP is getting access to similar levels of information and similar resources, no matter which province they're in, but still reflecting those natural differences.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of good sense. And it sounds like that's the best place for it to sit in order to have a little bit more value, opposed to something developed nationally and implemented at that level consistently across the board. It sounds like we might get more value out of that sort of difference there. Another question I had for you just before we maybe talk a little bit more about the environment module of ProAction is, I realize you are not a member of DFC, but thinking about sitting in the technical committee in your role there, there would have presumably have been a lot of conversations around how to develop the environment module as part of ProAction, and the EFP being, a key pillar, if that's fair to say, in terms of one of the requirements there. What's the rationale for having that as sort of, being an important role or having an important function in terms of the requirements of ProAction?
Right. Well, there's a few things. One, as I mentioned already, was just that awareness, kind of having that opportunity to go through and systematically look at different risks in your operation. And an environmental risk isn't just an environmental risk. Sometimes it can present an operational or a financial or a regulatory risk. So being aware of those is going to help a farm run more smoothly and efficiently and avoid problems down the road. And just that act of due diligence is a really important part of any sustainable sourcing program. And I think that's actually one of the reasons Dairy Farmers of Canada chose to put it as that foundational piece to ProAction. And I think as well, one of the things that the environmental module is really important for is showing your customers and your consumers that, first of all, you're aware of the risks to and from your production. So you're undertaking risk management like any good business. And B, you are working hard to protect and improve that environment that your farm is working within.
So I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of how and why the EFP would be integrated as a pretty foundational component of the environment module for the Dairy Farmers of Canada, not just because of what it sounds like, being a comprehensive tool and resource, and one that is, as we said, sort of a little bit more customized to the province, but also because it's been developed by provinces and there's availability, it sounds like it would be a natural fit, for DFC to hitch its wagon, so to speak, to what has already been a longstanding proven tool to address and identify and ideally motivate action when it comes to environmental risks. One conversation that we for sure seem to be having in the countryside with farmers is in relation to another requirement as part of the Dairy Farmers of Canada ProAction Environment module. Again, recognizing you're not DFC staff, but maybe just want to offer some sentiments here around the environmental questionnaire. And the conversation tends to say, well, I'm doing the EFP and that's asking me a lot of very specific questions about my farm and prompting me to really give some thought to and maybe learn about different environmental risks. But the environmental questionnaire, another requirement of the ProAction program, asks me about what I'm doing. It asks me about the BMPs that I'm implementing for things like soil health and things like biodiversity. And so there seems to be maybe some duplication there. Maybe there's some BMPs that I'm being asked to note down. So I guess the thinking is there is, why is there the difference there? And is that something that you can speak to a little bit to kind of help clarify for us?
So an EFP is done every 5 years in some provinces, or as far as every 10 years in some, because the requirement is to complete that EFP in the format and the frequency that it's offered in that province. And that environmental questionnaire is going to be completed every 2 years. There certainly is some similarity between the types of questions or the topics that are addressed in the EFP and the questionnaire. But that questionnaire gives that opportunity to demonstrate on topics that are very important to consumers and to customers. So greenhouse gases is one of those topics within that questionnaire. Biodiversity is another topic. Those are very au courant topics. There's a lot of focus being paid to them. And it's not enough for the regular consumer to know that you looked at that 5 years ago in your EFP. They want to know that you're giving active consideration and you are taking steps and your whole industry is taking steps on these. So it's kind of a measure over time to show, yeah, we're actually moving ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a great comment. And I mean, I have always often thought about it and said, ultimately that EFP is confidential. It's meant to be farm specific. It's meant to be yours and yours alone, or with those that you choose to share it with. And ultimately, as you said, that environment questionnaire, while there is some duplication, it's sort of duplication by design, but for some good reason, which is to enable DFC and the dairy sector to do exactly what ProAction exists to do, which is to offer that assurance and communicate on the good things that are being done. And it's difficult to do that using the EFP itself, although, as we talked about before, there's probably so much richness and value in doing the EFP. It seems that there is some value and some a good rationale for doing both, because they achieve sort of different purposes. Is that fair to say, you think?
Yeah, they absolutely have different purposes, because that EFP being confidential, that it's actually one of its strengths, because it allows you to have that honest reflection of the real circumstances on your farm, and that you are starting where you're at and improving. But that questionnaire is going to show an aggregated progression of the dairy industry. That EFP is yours and yours alone, between you and a technician or agronomist and the paper or the computer screen in which you do it. So really very different purposes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's helpful to understand that a little bit, that the use of the information or the lack thereof from a national perspective in the case of the EFP, but does help to sort of situate why we have both requirements in there and how they actually fundamentally do address that broader mandate of trying to ensure we've got environment, properly covered within the dairy sector. So I think with that, Karen, is there any other final piece of advice or commentary you'd leave producers or maybe other members of industry that are listening here in the context of the environment module, either as part of ProAction or more broadly environmental stewardship as a whole?
Yeah, great question. I guess I'd say ProAction is a pretty great program, one that every dairy farmer should be proud of, because it's showing that this industry cares about what's important to its consumers. It's showing that this industry is trying to continually improve, make their product and how they produce it better and better and better, and really showing that commitment. And it may take time. It's not, you know, I guess people always say sustainability is a journey, and maybe we've heard that a few too many times, except it's really true. It's not a particular end place. It's something that you're going to continue to work on over time, and just showing that commitment. And each farm, trying to understand what that looks like on their farm is really impressive. So be proud of it.
I think your comments are right on. As someone that's been, you know, working alongside industry and observing how this has developed and chatting with a large number of other folks too, just trying to understand their perspectives on this. I think you're right about the journey piece. It's sort of that cliche, but very true. And we're all collectively, you know, not just in industry, but the royal we, all of us out there as consumers and customers of products all over the world, in all walks of life. Sustainability is front and center for a lot of different industries right now. And they're all kind of trying to figure this out. And we have some advantages in that farmers have been stewards of the land for a long time. And just trying to help support them in, you know, as we are understanding of BMPs and impacts on the environment evolve, and involving good science, good researchers, and good stakeholders, as well as industry, to help develop something that offers the kind of assurance that ProAction does today and no doubt will evolve in the future as well. So thanks very much for taking the time to chat with us, for providing your insight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
So after speaking with Karen and getting a bit of a sense for how the Canadian government perceives the value of the Environmental Farm Plan, why they thought this would be a useful tool, and how it sort of fits into this environment mission that the Canadian dairy industry has, I wanted to actually go to the Dairy Farmers of Canada and ask them, why do we have environment as a module in ProAction? Why do we use the Environmental Farm Plan or the PAA in Quebec? Why do we have an environment questionnaire that asks some questions that are also asked in the Environmental Farm Plan? And overall, what's sort of the value to both the farmer and the industry as a whole of the environment module? So let's hear what Julia had to say. Well, Julia, it's a pleasure to have the chance to sit down and chat with you. I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about your role and your perspective on such an important topic nowadays, you know, more important than ever before. Not that it hasn't been important over the last several years, decades, or centuries as we think about it in the context of farming. Environmental stewardship, it's such an important thing for the dairy industry today. It's so important we are talking more about this, taking action on the farm, but more and more also answering questions about what we do in an industry. So first off, thanks very much for taking the time to chat. We're really excited to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself? How did you get into this role? Maybe what's a little bit of your background and what's your passion in for the dairy industry and for environment?
Yeah, so I joined DFC back in 2020, and I started out overseeing the finalization of the environment module of ProAction. And then as sustainability and environment became more and more of kind of something that the industry wanted to focus on, that we wanted to focus on as DFC, I moved into an advisory role as DFC looked at setting a national sustainability objective and target. And so I got to be involved in setting our net zero strategy. And then now as sustainability manager, I help to oversee the initiatives that are related to the net zero strategy, as well as monitoring and measuring our progress as an industry through things like the life cycle assessment.
Great. And I've seen older versions of that. And I know that's very comprehensive and quite impactful too, which is exciting to see, and a lot of progress on that, no doubt. And you've been a big part of that. Let's talk a little bit about sort of bird's eye view on environment. You mentioned, you know, initially getting into DFC in 2020, finishing off or really getting at the place where you could roll out the environment module, which of course came online in 2021 as far as Canadian dairy farmers are concerned. But a tremendous amount of work goes into getting those files to the point where they can be rolled out publicly. Can you give us an overview of the environment module for ProAction in general? What's involved in it?
Yeah, so the environment module was designed with kind of two purposes in mind. And so one is mitigating risks, and the other is promoting positive action. And so the idea is really to encourage farmers to be proactive in supporting environmental health while producing milk profitably and ensuring the sustainability of the natural resources that they manage. So in order to meet those objectives, there are five requirements that were developed. And so the first one being the completion of an environmental farm plan, or in Quebec, the PAA or equivalent. The second is the environmental questionnaire, which assesses the use of on-farm practices related to soil health, greenhouse gas emissions, biodiversity, silage seepage, and plastic waste. And then there are three requirements that are aimed at reducing the risk of contamination of soil, groundwater, and surface water. And so that's from wastewater as well as from manure, and then making the best use of the manure and other nutrients on the farm.
Great. So very comprehensive in terms of some of the things you'd be thinking about as far as the environment goes. And I know from talking firsthand with producers, talking with yourself, talking with others in industry, this is not something new in terms of what farmers have been doing in managing some of these things. Talk to me about why having an environment module in ProAction is so important. If we think about from a supply chain perspective, for example, or from more of a big picture DFC lens, why is environment part and parcel of a quality assurance program today?
Well, I think it's so important to recognize that farms and the environment are very intricately linked. So farmers are often called the stewards of our natural resources in Canada because they are overseeing agricultural lands. They might have water bodies, they might have forests. There's a huge amount of wildlife that are on their farms. And so the interplay between a farm and its natural environment is very important. And farmers, a lot of farmers really take that role seriously. And they like seeing the beautiful trees and the wildlife that are on their property. And also recognizing that things like managing soil health has a really positive impact on crop production, which can then have a positive impact on feed efficiency. And it's really a circular system. And so there are benefits on the farm itself in terms of mitigating risks and enhancing things like soil health and biodiversity. But then as an industry, showing that we have a commitment to protecting the environment, to stewarding natural resources, is a really important point as we communicate with consumers who want to know how the milk products that they enjoy are being produced, as well as when we communicate with government to inform them of the initiatives that we're taking as an industry.
That's great. And I think it's important, and you nicely laid it out, the impact that this type of program can have at the farm level and at the industry level, both of which, of course, are important for us to highlight, understand, and appreciate. It sort of makes me think of the triple bottom line thinking, right, in terms of social, environmental, and economic responsibility or impact. And, you know, no doubt the dairy farmers have had an impact like this for some time, but this is an opportunity to sort of formalize that. And is it fair to say, package up the good work we're doing, identifying opportunities for improvement, and sharing that on with the supply chain?
I think that's a great way to say it, because that's the thing, is a lot of these initiatives have been underway for a long time. And so it's a way of being able to communicate it in a package, exactly as you've said, with all of those different audiences that are really interested in hearing what farmers are doing.
So there's a couple pieces that are really, I think, fundamental to the environment module. You've nicely laid out all of the pieces. Two big ones are the Environmental Farm Plan, or the PAA, as you outlined in Quebec. And then the other one is the Environment Questionnaire. There are other elements to that, but those two in particular tend to stand alone or at least get a lot of discussion because it's not just one individual requirement. They're requirements that are made up of a variety of things. Can you maybe, let's start with the EFP or the PAA. What's sort of the thinking behind, let's call it the value proposition there? Why are we as DFC asking Canadian dairy farmers to really take the time to complete an EFP or a PAA? And what's the value to, again, sort of them and the industry as a whole by checking that box, by getting that done?
Yeah, so EFPs are well recognized across Canada as being really robust plans. And one of the things that's so great about them is that they are administered at the provincial level. So they're either administered by the provincial government or there is some other body that administers them. But there's a large degree of consistency within the province. And even across provinces, there may be some differences because of the regional soil types and different factors that would be implicated in that. But they are they've existed for a long time. They're very well recognized and they're comprehensive. And I think the individualized nature of the plan is what makes them so strong. And so every farm goes through the process of categorizing what is it actually on my farm that could be a risk? And what are the actions that I can take to address those risks? And so that allows us to share as an industry that every farm has taken the time to evaluate not just a standard list of practices, but what is the picture on their actual farm.
Yeah. So it's more tailored, right? And that's, yes. Yeah, I think that's great. And that sort of nicely dovetails with probably one of the more common questions I seem to hear, and I'm sure others have, or you may hear as well from farmers when they look at the environment module, is they will start to complete the other requirement, which is the environment questionnaire. So that questionnaire is listing out a variety of best practices under a few key topics, soil health, biodiversity, for example, and a number of other ones as well. And within those, I believe one of the common questions is farmers saying, hey, I'm being asked and to consider a lot of these in the context of my EFP. Now, you said something important there that I want to sort of bring into this conversation. You said by having an EFP done, you can really, as DFC or as an industry, communicate on that a tailored plan has been developed or evaluated for each farm. Why do we need to ask some of these questions in the environment questionnaire that farmers may already be considering as part of their EFP or their PAA exercise? Why do we need to ask some similar questions, and what's sort of the value or the need there?
Yeah, so the individualized nature of the EFP is its strength in one way, but it also makes it really challenging for us to communicate because those individual plans that farmers develop are actually confidential to the farmer. So, I mean, they probably submit it to the provincial authority to have it approved, but then it's really that farm's property as to, you know, that's their plan, that's what they're going to be doing with it. But then if we want to communicate as an industry, these are the practices that are being undertaken. This is all the work that's happening on the farms. DFC doesn't have access to every farm's environmental farm plan. And so farms develop their individual plans, but then we do actually need a standard list of practices, like I mentioned earlier, so that we can communicate a national picture of what's happening. So the idea with the questionnaire is that it actually extracts some of that key information from the environmental farm plans that allows us to aggregate information, aggregate data, and communicate our progress and the work that's happening as a whole industry.
And maybe just a quick opportunity for clarification too, is it, or add on, I'm not a clarification, but that aggregation is anonymized, right? It's all confidential in terms of what's provided, but it sounds like arms DFC with a lot of specific information instead of general statements around we're doing everything to steward the land. This is pretty darn specific in terms of where and how and when, in some cases, farms are in an aggregate sense addressing these issues. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. And so it really gives us an idea, okay, these are practices that maybe most farms are doing. And so we can feel really confident sharing about them, talking about them in our marketing campaigns, and really communicating to Canadians, this is what most farmers are doing. And it, we find, well, I don't work in the marketing team, but I have heard that that resonates really well with people. They really love knowing what is actually happening on a farm, because maybe they've never been to a farm and they don't know what that actually looks like. And then it also helps us to see if there are some practices and categories where there are not as many farmers that are adopting those practices. We can take a step back and say, huh, I wonder why that is. Is there an economic barrier? Is there a policy barrier? And so that helps us as DFC to take a deeper look into those areas and see how we can come alongside and better support farmers.
And it sounds like it's pretty critical then to sort of the mission in the mandate for both DFC and the environment module as a whole. Where can farmers go to get more information on this topic? And maybe more specifically, a question that comes to mind is, you sort of mentioned it right at the outset, is, you know, net zero as a strategy is something that DFC has embraced, has communicated, and is, you know, actively being promoted nowadays. So how do these fit? Is it the same thing? Are they different? Is this all under the lens of sustainability, but two different sort of work streams, if you will? How do these things connect?
Yeah, so I mentioned the life cycle assessment, and that's a really core piece for us as DFC to know where we're at and where we need to go in the future in order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And so the LCA was first started in 2011, and we are sometime this year going to be releasing the results for 2021. And it's really based on those results and based on that progress that we can see all of the work that farmers have been doing for decades is showing that they are gradually over time reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And so we set that target for net zero, knowing that it was based on the trajectory that farmers are already on. And so with the environment module, farmers have the opportunity to take stock of what's happening on their individual farm, identify opportunities where they might be able to add additional practices. And then the recently released best management practices guide for net zero can help farmers to evaluate what the best practices might be that would work for their farm based on, you know, what are the cost implications? What are the greenhouse gas reduction implications? How does this also fit in with the larger picture of biodiversity? And so the two initiatives really dovetail on each other, and they're very much, I would say, they're part of the same strategy in that they're heading towards the same direction. And so when farmers are looking for more information, that best management practices guide is really a great place to start. And so that's available on DFC's website. We also have a whole suite of fact sheets and other resources specifically for the environment module. So to find out information on the different requirements themselves. And then for specific questions, farmers can always go to their provincial ProAction coordinator, who might be able to provide some individualized and specific guidance. But yeah, there's really lots of resources and lots of different ways to approach this. That's one of the things about the environment, is that every farm looks different. Every farm is located in a different area and has different climatic conditions. And so the really exciting thing is that there's so many different opportunities to engage with environmental stewardship. And so farmers can just kind of get excited about the possibilities.
Yeah, that's great. And it sounds like it really embraces and acknowledges diversity in terms of, you know, region or climate or whatever the case is, and maybe allows farms to tailor and identify practices that are suitable for them, opposed to, as you said earlier, identifying, let's say, the top five BMPs that every farm must, you know, implement, which is obviously easier to say, but harder to do in terms of, you know, a farm is not a farm is not a farm, especially in a country as large and as diverse as Canada. So that makes a lot of sense. Julia, thanks so much for taking the time to help break some of this down for us, explain some of the value, not just for the farm level, but really why, plain and simple. Why do we have this program? What do we do with some of the data that's being collected? How and why do we share some of these things? And how is that perhaps influencing our understanding of what's happening on Canadian dairy farms, not just for our collective industry understanding, but to assure our consumers, our customers, of the good work that's being done by Canadian dairy farmers as well. So thanks very much for taking the time.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. And I'll just finish off by saying, whenever we do share all that's happening on farms, people are surprised and delighted and excited to hear more.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's ProAction podcast series. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, please visit www.dairyfarmers.ca/ProAction. And don't forget to like and subscribe for more content. You'll find us online at dairyfarmers.ca or anywhere you find podcasts. This podcast was narrated by me, Stephen Roach, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. This project is hosted by the Dairy Farmers of Canada and is funded by the Canadian Agricultural Partnership, a federal, provincial, territorial initiative.